Hi there, this is Chris Walter. I'm the pastor of New Beginnings Church, and this is our weekly sermon podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I hope this inspires you to grow in your faith and causes you to see God in your life in a new way. Enjoy the message. Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 28th chapter, where we pick up in verse 16. And here we'll hear how Jesus gives to the disciples a command, which we know as the Great Commission. Hear these words as we pick up in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age." And so this morning we gather to hear the end of this four-week journey in which we've been looking at those around us, but more so looking within us to be reminded that God through the scriptures, God through his word, calls us to be a light in the world, calls us to be a community of believers. We began this series, as you recall, hearing God speak those powerful words to love thy neighbor. But in that, be reminded that to love our neighbors, well, truly to love our neighbors, we must begin with ourselves. That even a TV host can remind us through a song that everyone wants to be a neighbor. And this morning, as we continue in this journey, we come to the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus himself gives us this great commission, a commission, a calling to follow him and to live as his people. He left this earth with one very powerful message, to share the good news that he taught, that he continues to teach. To make sure that we not just teach others, that we not just tell others, but we live this out. That if we truly are to be his disciples, that his death on a cross, his death on that cross should not stop us, but that we should live not there, but at the tomb, which is empty, as resurrection people. And we must live out this great commission. You know, it's true that this commission initially was taken so very seriously that the apostles themselves would preach the gospel so intently that disciples were made and it would begin to spread throughout the world. You can read this in Colossians. You can read this in Romans. But they all went. Jesus, as he commanded them to get out of the boat, to leave the table, to go forth into the world, these early disciples didn't use excuses, didn't stop at the door, but they went. They went out. And the question is begged, are we doing the same? As the Gospel of Matthew teaches us in this last chapter, in this poignant message at the very end, in which he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. It is a powerful message, isn't it? But it's also a scary message in a sense, because how many of us feel ready to go teach about the scriptures? How many of us truly are willing to sit down with a stranger and say, let me tell you the words of God and what they mean? I mean, the truth is, for all of us, we feel inadequate, don't we? At some level. We feel like, I can't do that. Some might say, my time has passed. I taught once before, but now it's someone else's job. I'm too old, I'm too slow. Some might say I'm too young because I haven't learned enough yet. Some might say I am in the middle of life and I don't have time to do that. I have kids to run to practices. I have duties at work that keep me busy all day long. I don't have time to drop everything and teach about the scriptures. Heck, I don't have enough time to truly understand all of them. There's things I don't know about God. How could I teach? And others might say, I don't need to worry about that. I have a pastor. They can teach about the scriptures because they went to seminary. They paid thousands of dollars. They know the scriptures better than I ever will. But if you look at this passage, nowhere does it say what the requirement is. Nowhere does it say what we must do. Only that we must go. If we look at verse 16, it opens up and it says, now the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee. Why? Because Jesus told them to. He told the disciples, go to Galilee. And they went. They went to the mountain, to the place where Jesus had called them to go. When they arrived, they encountered him. This mountain, the reason Jesus went there, is because it, for them, for those early disciples, it's a focal point. It was a reminder of all the things that had happened. That there, as they climbed towards the heavens, they would become closer to God, even though in truth, Jesus was already there with them as they went up the hill. But for those early disciples, they needed a reminder, something to point them to say, okay, I get it. I get it. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. Yet doesn't it say that as they worshiped them, some of these 11 who had followed Jesus their whole lives, the whole ministry of Jesus, they were there. They saw the miracles. They saw the work that he did. Yet some still doubted. Some still questioned. The truth is, for some of us, we need to be reminded of the power and the importance of the gospel. Some of us need to see that mountain, that moment, that place where we know without a doubt Jesus exists. There's no question Jesus is there. Truth is, that is this place. We need this place to be reminded of there is light in the community. There is hope here. It may be hard to see at times, but boy, it is here. It is truly in this place. And in turn, when we see Jesus just as the disciples did, we must turn our hearts in worship to him. This is part of our mission. This is part of our calling. This is part of the Great Commission. It's not enough to just go and make disciples, but it's also important that we go and worship him in our glory, in our pain, in our struggle. We come together in prayer because we know the power that exists in the gospel. We know the power that healing can come from it, that hope can be given out of it. Yet some still will doubt. Some of us even in this place, all of us at some point may doubt. The 11 who were there with him, who walked on the dirt roads with Jesus, doubted. They faced uncertainty. But yet, what this teaches us is that there is faith and there is unbelief, and they coincide at the same time. But yet, we must lean into faith, because we know the whole story. We may not see Jesus in the flesh, but we don't need to, because we know the story of the resurrection. As the disciples come across Jesus, he speaks to them in verse 18. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus is the authority in our lives. Jesus tells the disciples, reminding them that God has placed all authority in him. And because of his authority on earth and in heaven, the words that he gives to us, the words that he gave to his disciples and everyone in between, has authority over our lives. But it's also a promise that when we go out, Jesus goes with us. When we go out in his name, when we go out to share the good news of the gospel, this verse promises us that Jesus goes with us, that we don't go out into the world alone. We don't worship alone. He is there with us. And that when we participate in his authority, when we participate in his presence, others will see him. Others will witness him. When we go and make disciples, the world will be transformed. Now, all of this is great and good, but we must go. We must go and baptize the world. We must go and make disciples. There's action in this. We must go. We must make. We must baptize. Now, I'm sure all of you are thinking, well, baptizing others is not my duty. And it's true. It falls on those who have been set apart to do that. But there's also a truth in baptizing in the word. That's simply speaking truth and hope into people's lives. Going out into this community and reminding them what a wonderful place this is. What a place of great blessing. Why? Because Jesus is here. Jesus is present. And we can do this because we have been given the direction to do all this in his name, in the name of God the Father, and of the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus told us would always be in this place. And as he went to leave the disciples, he said to them, "I may physically leave you, Holy Spirit never shall. Never shall." As we come to the end of this, he then says, "Go and teach and obey everything." He says, "Obey everything, even though I know you're not going to, but do as I command." I know you're going to mess up. I know you're going to sin. It's okay, because you will be forgiven. But go and do as I have commanded, teaching and obeying. And then it closes with, and remember, I am with you always. It's interesting, that word, remember. It's a word that tells us to not forget, to hold in our minds, to sometimes pull forward an awareness to truth. The truth that Jesus is with us as we go into the world. Some translations actually use, instead of the word remember, they use the word surely. And know surely I am with you always. It's a firm belief that we know even when we forget, we must know that Jesus is with us. Another translation uses the word behold. Behold. Know with certainty, I am with you always. Now I share all of this. Why? Because here's the important thing. This church, this body of Christ does know that. We live that out, I believe. We do that through the meals that we share with each other. When we open it up to the community, we invite others in. It's living out the gospel. When this body of Christ hosts children twice a year for Kids Club, we are living out that great commission. When we gather together and share our resources to bless families in our community at Christmas time or other times in the year, we live that out. When we go and we serve, we distribute food to those in need, we volunteer our time, we're living out that great commission. When we go and gather with our friends and we break bread, we are living that commission. When we go and we check on our neighbors who we haven't seen for a bit, we are living out that commission. When we send them bulletins and we say, I know you can't make it, but I want you to know I love you, we are living that commission out. We hear the word go and make disciples. We think that we must go to some foreign place far away. We must be that evangelist on the street corner, but no, sometimes it's simply meaning picking up the telephone, sending a card, inviting family over to break bread. This body of Christ does it well. I believe that this church is mighty. I know that out of this church comes a mighty, mighty light for our community. Because I see it happen all the time. I see it in the love that all of you show our neighbors. What a joy. What a joy it is to see a church, a body of Christ, living out this great commission. To go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know by doing so, it transforms the world. Our world. Our community. Do it with a smile. Do it with the love of Christ in your heart. Because trust me, I know. I've seen it already. It's changing lives. We may not always see it, but it is. And I believe that. Give to the body of Christ. This morning, as we come into a time of offering now, we will do so as we give, knowing that sometimes we don't know where that money goes, and that's okay. We'll give coins that will go into a cup to make noisy offerings. But in truth, friends, we are living the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Sometimes we don't have to leave our seats. I mean, I'll need an usher or two to help, but those two have to leave their seats. The rest of you can stay. But we do so, friends, as we go and make disciples. And so let us now enter this time of offering as we continue to make disciples in all the world.